This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at geraldjonesaudi.com.
Well, Thomas Pagel is the Senior Director, Rules of Golf and Amateur Status for the United States Golf Association. Earlier this week, USGA announced some changes regarding viewers and potential rules violations. Pleasure to welcome Thomas Pagel back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. If you would, explain the essence of the USGA announcement from earlier this week.
Yeah, John, as you and your listeners will recall, back in April, we announced the formation of a working group along with our partners at the RNA. That working group included many of the leading worldwide tours in the PGA of America. And that group was charged with really a comprehensive review of the use of video and applying the rules in golf. And part of that was, you know, should we continue to use video? And if so, how should it be used? And most importantly, how can we address this topic of television viewer call-ins that certainly has been part of the story in golf for the last better part of a decade? And so that group came together, and this week we announced the outcomes and conclusions of that group. And really, the conclusions are twofold. First is video is very much a benefit to the application of the rules across really all sports, and golf is no different. But we wanted to limit how it was used. And when I say that, I mean we really wanted to adopt a set of procedures that would ensure the application of the rules was put back into the hands of the players and the committees. Really make sure that, you know, if somebody's charged with running an event, let's let the committee apply the rules. And so what we've come out and agreed to is a new set of video review protocols that all the organizations represented, including the PGA Tour, LPGA Tour, European Tour, LET, and then, of course, the USGA and the RNA. We've agreed to a set of protocols where we are going to commit at least one official to watch or monitor broadcast and live streaming of events. And essentially what we're saying is we've got this. We want to make sure that the application of the rules is back in the committee. So when folks at home are seeing things, there's a member of the committee that's watching that video as well, and they'll apply the rules accordingly. So we're committing the resources, and essentially what we're saying is we're no longer going to accept television call-ins. So if somebody emails or tries to call in, they just need to know and trust that what they've seen and experts are already seen as well, and we're going to act on that. And then I was just going to quickly say the second part of the outcome was a local rule which eliminates the additional two-stroke penalty for a scorecard that's been turned in when it's incorrect.
It feels like this was spurred by a particular incident, but Thomas, as you alluded to, would you say this is about a series of events that have taken place over the last few years?
Yeah, John, that's exactly right. There were just a number of uncomfortable situations that created major distractions and controversies for the game that I would say, you know, leaders throughout the business, whether it was from the tour level, PGA of America, or the governing bodies, we just said, this is not good for the game. This is not good for the image of the game. It's not good to have these outcomes impacted by viewers at home. So let's act on this. So it certainly wasn't any one incident. And I think you'll probably have noticed a trend as well. I mean, what we announced this week is really just another measure in the evolution of the rules and how we've dealt with this. We announced a local rule last year. We announced a new decision this year that introduced a couple of standards, whether it be reasonable judgment or naked eye, again, trying to create a level playing field for those that are playing on television. You know, and then we have these measures announced this week, and then we look to 2019, and when the new rules come into effect, you know, a number of the unnecessary penalties are going to be eliminated. So this is really just sort of one step in that evolution as we look to address these issues.
The person watching the telecast, Thomas, or maybe the more than one person, are they watching the over-the-air broadcast only, or are they going to have access to all of the monitors that a television compound may have?
Yeah, so the primary focus here is on watching the broadcast, so the feeds that are leaving the property. So, for example, at the U.S. Open, we'll have our domestic broadcast feed, an international feed, and a number of live streaming channels that will be monitored by an official. Now, certainly there are a number of other things that are captured on camera that never hit the air, mm-hmm. and those images will be treated the same that they've always been treated, in that if a referee calls in with a question, something's happening on the golf course, and they want to know if there's footage to help determine the facts, or if a player comes in at the end of the round and says, you know, on the 14th hole, something happened, and I'm not totally sure, we'll go back in, and we'll still have the ability to go back and review that footage, but we're not going to actively monitor every camera as it's on. That's not realistic.
We're talking with Thomas Pagel from the USGA. You mentioned viewer call-ins, email. So if there's a situation, Thomas, where social media becomes active with something that a viewer saw, didn't call anybody, didn't email anybody, just tweeted it out there, what does the USGA, how will you deal with that information?
Again, by putting an expert in the place, as people are responding or reacting to things, whether that be through call-ins, through emails, or on social media, again, those experts, that official would have seen the same thing. So if there's something to act on, the committee will already be responding to it, even while people are chatting through social media. And I can tell you, having served in that review role myself in the past at USGA championships, that you're going to catch or you're going to see 95% of things right out of the gate. So there's a small likelihood that you may miss something, but for the most part, you're seeing all this stuff as it's happening. And I can also tell you that a lot of the call-ins that we currently get, or we've had in the past, are things that, you know, maybe somebody didn't totally understand the facts, or maybe somebody misunderstood the rule and what the outcome should be. So again, this is all about looking to the future and just ensuring that the application of the rules reside with the players and with the committee.
You're the rules guy. While I have you, a couple of other questions, if I can. There's been some talk recently about players' intent. And there are many people who think the rules are the rules and they're black and white. What's the USGA's position on players' intent?
Intent has been part of the rules for quite some time. I think that as people have listened to the announcement this week, and perhaps look towards 2019, they think that the introduction of intent is something new, and that's certainly not the case. When we write the rules of golf, we always assume the honesty and the integrity of the player. That's our starting point. When we're in a room or we're meeting with the tours and we start talking about new rules, we don't assume that a player is going to try and get away with something. But there are certain scenarios or certain situations where we don't just look at the outcome. We don't say, okay, Did this affect the player? Did the player gain an advantage? What we look at is what was the player's intention when they took this action? When they moved this object or when they tapped down that spike mark, what was their intention? And it's not a matter of did they intend to break the rules. It's why did you take that action? And then the reason for that action then will dictate, you know, from a rule standpoint, what that outcome will ultimately be.
You know, something else that seems to have creeped into the game over the last couple of years, Thomas, and it's a professional issue, not an amateur issue or a worldwide casual golf issue. And that's this habit of professional players not marking their balls on the green, which could influence the shot of another player. USGA thinking about that, how do they look at that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that's important for everyone to understand with this rule, John, is that the current prohibition, the only way to breach that rule is if you and a fellow competitor agree to leave balls there. So people are seeing this and they're assuming that it should automatically be a breach of the rules. Well, the only way it's a breach of the rules is if two players say, you know what, leave your ball there so I can use it as a backstop. And certainly that's not what's happening out there. I can tell you that as we look towards 2019 and the introduction of the new rules, this is certainly an area or a topic that remains under discussion. So it's something we're mindful of. It's something that we see, like as everyone else sees. But again, just to note for your viewers or your listeners, excuse me, what they're seeing on TV is not a breach of the rules as they stand today.
And before I let you go, you brought it up. Where are we on the proposed rule changes? Where are we in the process?
So, you know, back in March, we announced major changes that we proposed to take effect in 2019, and we asked for feedback. And for all your listeners that participated in the feedback, I just say thank you, because the level of engagement across the golf community was tremendous. You know, we had over 22,000 individuals return surveys from 102 countries worldwide. And so now that we've received that feedback, we're going through the period of sort of finalizing the drafting, taking what we've heard, making changes to what we've shared in March, and coming out with a final code. And we hope that, you know, first part of the spring next year, we'll be able to come out to the golf community again and say, you know, thank you for the feedback. Here's what we heard. And here are the final rules that will take effect in 2019. So folks can expect to hear more from us in the next few months. But right now, we're just going through the process of drafting and making sure sort of we cross the T's and dot the I's.
He is Thomas Pagel, Senior Director, Rules of Golf, Amateur Status for the United States Golf Association. Thomas, I know you're busy. I know there's a lot going on, and it's the holiday season. Thank you for taking the time to do this. Have a great holiday, and we will talk again.
John, thank you so much for having me. Happy holidays to you and your listeners as well.